the problem with microplastics has to do mainly with the fact that these are small particles. In fact, you can actually see them with the naked eye, though they are called microplastics because it includes everything below 5 millimeters. And the problem is mostly because there are lots of microplastics in the ocean, and it's increasing, mainly because they result from the fragmentation of bigger objects, marine litter generally floating in the oceans, and not only floating in the water column and in the seabed. And so they degrade very slowly, and eventually they will become microplastics. Also, you can find microplastics in many personal care products, microbeads, as they are called, mainly in exfoliants and cleaning house cleaning products.
Is your job or your involvement with microplastics mostly about collecting and identifying where they are, or is there more to it than that?
Well, actually, I have been doing many things around plastics, like those that you are mentioning, distribution, identifying which are the plastics that are there, and also a little bit of the impacts of plastic, microplastics on invertebrates. And I also did something on fish, stomach contents of commercial fish off the coast of Portugal.
Professor Paula Sobral is visiting Australia from Portugal, where she works not only in the scientific area of microplastics in marine environments, but also in public education. Paula, have you found that some things work better than others to get people to modify their consumption habits with plastic?
Well, it's a bit hard to say because this is cultural and will differ from country to country. So I don't know. One thing that I found in Portugal is that you don't have to waste much time explaining this is a bad thing. Everybody understands that plastic shouldn't be where it is. So you don't really have to waste a lot of time. And then you just have to engage people into presenting the effects and making them realize how bad it is and that they must change their consumption habits.
I believe that plastics came first into use in the 1950s, give or take.
Yeah.
And have they just been increasing? Is the amount of plastic been increasing ever since then, or are things starting to change now?
Production has increased exponentially since the 50s, 1950s, and it still is. So there is no stopping. It's growing, and it's growing more and more. China was not even in the statistics in 2009, I guess, and now it's the first world producer of plastics. So this is the tendency is to increase, not stabilize.
Do you know or have a sense of where most of the pollution is coming from?
Well, we would say that most of the marine litter comes from land-based sources, so like 80%, so most of it, and 20% from fisheries and offshore platforms and things like that, maritime origin.
When we talk about a plastic being biodegradable, is that real, or does it just go into smaller and smaller pieces?
Yeah, in most cases, yes, it goes into smaller and smaller pieces. And what happens is that they become out of sight, so you just don't see them anymore. And so you are very relieved with your conscience that you are using a plastic that just disappears, which in fact is not true. It doesn't disappear. I mean, eventually, as the bits get very, very small and they can break down to the molecule, and then maybe they are degraded. Of course, they are degraded at that size, but it takes a long time. There is another issue with the biodegradable plastics is that they are not recyclable, so they are considered a contamination to the recycling plants, so they don't want that. They have to sort all the plastics, polyethylene on one side, polypropylene on the other side, PET, so they don't want mixtures. And the biodegradable ones are not suitable for recycling.
If we come back to personal care products for a minute, I believe there's a campaign to help reduce the use of plastics in household products and cosmetics. Is that right?
There is. It has started in Holland and the Netherlands. It's called Beat the Microbead. It has a website you can refer to that and go and see many of the makers of these exfoliants that have already committed to discontinue their products.
Is it still common to find those?
Very common, especially in the cheapest ones that you can find in the supermarkets, because it's very cheap to make these products with little microbeads made of plastic. It's a lot cheaper than including the natural stuff that has always been there.
The size of the microbead products in cosmetics, what size would they be?
Well, generally they are very small, I would say, around 200 micrometers, 300 micrometers, because they cannot be big, otherwise they would be very aggressive to your skin. So they are very, very small.
And they just go straight down the drain?
Straight down the drain.
Through the sewage processing?
Exactly. No treatment plant can retain them.
I believe that while you've been in Australia, you've been looking for microplastics in the tiniest of animals in the ocean, the plankton. Can you tell us what you see when you look down the microscope?
What we do is that we separate what are animals, organisms from zooplankton, from stuff that has different shape or has different color, different texture. So then, but still, we had to confirm this with analysis through infrared spectrometry that really can identify what you have there, and then you find if it's plastic or if it's not plastic.
And the reason that we see plastics in the stomachs of very tiny organisms like a plankton is because they're actively eating it, or for some other reason?
It's very difficult to say if they are actively eating, because many of these organisms, they are filter feeders, and so they create currents around them that will bring to their mouth the little particles that they feed upon, I mean, like the microalgae, diatoms, and very, very small organisms. I guess that in these currents, they will take everything that it's in there. So if they have little, very little tiny particles of plastic, they will ingest them.
I suppose those tiny particles in the plankton then get passed up through the food chain. Do we know whether the plastic affects the health of marine organisms or what the effects might be?
We are concerned about the possible effects, though it has not yet been demonstrated. And that has to do with the fact that plastics, they absorb contaminants from the water, so contaminants that are already there, besides those that they have added to when they are manufactured, because there's lots of additives that the industry puts into the plastics to give them special properties, like flame retardants, which are very toxic. And so there is this two-way of contamination, let's say, one that is all the plastics that are included in the manufacture that can leach out of the plastic, and the fact that most plastics will absorb contaminants from the ocean, so legacy.
It must be difficult knowing the scale of the problem of plastics in the environment and knowing that things are still getting worse and that plastic production is increasing.
I feel that we have to do something about it. And every little thing counts, because I mean this is so huge of a problem. It's a global thing. Plastics are everywhere. Microplastics are everywhere. They are being ingested. We don't know what the effect will be. And in the ecological from the ecological point of view, and also from the human health, of course, we still don't know. But it's not good. I mean, so we know that plastic shouldn't be in the ocean. It doesn't belong there. It belongs in, I don't know, in the landfill. It belongs in energy recovery processes, but certainly not in the ocean.